Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Careful Clean, serving the Bay Area with exterior cleaning services, pressure washing, solar panel cleaning, and wood restoration services for residential and commercial clients. Careful-clean.com.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. When industrial accidents happen, there's a list of questions people cycle through. What problems were going unaddressed, and for how long? And what about the regulators ostensibly regulating the company? 2 years ago, 8 people died in San Bruno, a residential neighborhood near the San Francisco airport, because of bad welds on old pipelines run by PG&E. The agency charged with oversight of that company is the California Public Utilities Commission. After a scathing report by an outside consultant described an anti-safety attitude at the CPUC, state lawmakers want a turnaround plan in hand by next week. KQED's Tara Seiler reports.
2 years after a gas pipeline explosion rocked the Bay Area city of San Bruno, the CPUC commissioned an employee survey of the agency's safety culture. The feedback wasn't pretty. The agency pays lip service to safety, and its leaders are too close with the utilities they regulate. Assemblyman Bob Blumenfield is a Los Angeles Democrat.
When I learned about the report, my first thought was not again, was can't the PUC get something right?
During a hearing in Sacramento yesterday, the CPUC's executive director, Paul Clannon, said there has been progress since San Bruno, but he said the CPUC is only 2 years into a 5-year plan to reform the agency's culture.
Turning a ship that's 100 years old, and that's what we're doing here, turning the Public Utilities Commission's safety culture after 100 years of history, is an immense task. It is not going to happen overnight.
But San Jose Democrat Nora Campos said the ship is not turning fast enough. She asked Clannon if after 20 years, the ship might need a new captain.
A question that you should be asking yourself as you look in the mirror is, are you the right person to lead this organization? And I think it's a fair question.
Clannon said it is a fair question, adding that he won't rest until the agency's culture is transformed. For the California Report, I'm Tara Seiler.
AB 343 would have required anyone who willfully or knowingly documented animal cruelty to deliver the evidence to law enforcement within 120 hours. But hours before the Assembly Committee on Agriculture was set to consider the bill, author Jim Patterson of Fresno pulled it. In a statement, the Republican lawmaker wrote his intention was the prevention of animal cruelty. But the measure was widely seen as an attempt to intimidate whistleblowers and undercover animal welfare activists with the threat of prosecution, given that it often takes more than a few days to document a pattern of abuse. In recent weeks, a number of local papers in California set up paywalls online. News outlets like the Orange County Register, the Riverside Press Enterprise, and the Eureka Times-Standard joined regional giants like the LA Times and the Sacramento Bee. But are paywalls the way to go? And what's the right way to go about it? We asked Alan Mutter, who teaches at UC Berkeley's Journalism School and writes a blog called Reflections of a Newsosaur.
A certain number of people will pay almost any amount of money, but quite a larger number of people won't pay anything at all. So whereas in many items, price matters, when it comes to charging for content, people will pay a fair amount of money for something they really want to get. The problem for newspapers is that they're not really attracting a new online audience. The people that they're charging for online content are primarily people who already use the print newspaper. The problem for the industry from a strategic point of view is that that wall, which keeps in their existing customers, and also is keeping out people who don't currently look at the newspaper.
You know, one of my colleagues talks about password fatigue, the phenomenon where you're just tired of having so many different accounts to manage. Why hasn't anybody come up with the equivalent of a news PayPal where I can just have one account and then spend, you know, 5 cents on this article at this site and 5 cents on that article at that site?
That is the $64 billion question. I've been involved in a couple of different startup ventures trying to offer these kinds of services through the industry, basically a pass that if you signed up for it, you could read an article in San Francisco Chronicle, you could read something in Time Magazine, you could download a song from the Apple Store. And the publishers have never gotten together, and we've just never got them to move forward.
Where do you see this going in the next 6 to 18 months?
More publications will start charging for content. And if they are successful, then even more publications will start charging for content. And what we will have is we will have little silos of content that will make it somewhat harder for people to get information. But you have to remember that news, once it's news, can't be contained. And so if there's a really important story in the paper in Eureka, somebody somewhere will pick it up and follow it. And if you go to Google News, you'll be able to find a link to that story someplace that will give you most of the information, if not the whole story itself, in the clear.
Are there any news organizations that are managing this transition into a digital world in such a way that you could actually see them surviving for the next 10 years?
News as a business is not really much of a business. For the most part, the business of media, whether you're a radio station, a newspaper, a newsweekly magazine, a commercial broadcaster on TV, your business is creating an audience and selling it for money. You're selling it either for advertising, for the most part, or subscription fees in the case of a magazine or a newspaper. When it comes to what's happening at the local PTA or mattress fires down the block, there are people who are interested in it, and that's always been a business heretofore for newspapers. But the real thing that newspapers were selling was access to a really large audience in a particular market where everybody at the same time and place could get an ad for mattresses on sale. When advertisers don't necessarily feel the need to go after that audience and pay the kind of money that newspaper publishers have historically gotten paid for their advertising, which, by the way, is a very princely sum. When advertisers find new ways to connect with consumers on their iPhones, on the web, through e-commerce, they're going to divert a lot of their money to those ways of reaching customers. And that's going to reduce the amount of money that's available to buy advertising in mass media publications like commercial television, radio, magazines, and newspapers.
Well, Alan Mutter, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
We've got a link to his blog, Reflections of a Newsosaur. Check it out on our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Thursday, April 18th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.